Welcome back to Crunch Time. Final segment on a Wednesday means Crunch Exchange time. I'm going to give Steve some stories from the world of sports, give him a prospectus from each story. He's going to tell us if he's buying or selling. Also a pending option, which he sometimes uses. You used it last week, right?
I did.
Yeah, nice job.
I pended.
Nice job. Well, this hasn't been a very good week for Oregon basketball. Oregon men's basketball. Women's basketball is actually having a pretty good week. But their prospects for a Final Four return trip next season, both Tyler Dorsey, Dylan Brooks, have declared for the NBA draft and have said they have hired agents. Brooks and was Oregon's MVP during the regular season, winning Pac-12 Player of the Year honors, hitting a couple buzzer beaters to beat UCLA and Cal, averaged a team-high 16 points per game, along with 3 boards, 3 assists, and a steal per game. Most people think he doesn't have much left to prove, but there will be lingering doubts about his health, and his performance in the tournament wasn't very good by his standards. So let's start with him, the prospectus. Dylan Brooks deciding to go pro was a good move.
I actually think... It was the only move. We went through this last year. What's the point of coming back? What's he going to be, National Player of the Year? Are they going to win the national championship? I mean, at this point, strike while the iron's hot. I'm going to buy that.
Okay, now let's get to Dorsey. He was Mr. Inconsistent during the regular season, but really showed the world what kind of player he can be during March. He's a 6'4 point guard who can beat people off the dribble, and when his outside shot is on, is basically unstoppable on offense. He seems to be an average defender as a guard, but his size gives him an advantage over most point guards he faced in college. That might not be the case in the NBA, and while he was arguably the best player in the tournament, scouts will look back at film during the season and find games in which he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with a basketball. But how much did he have left to prove in college? The prospectus, Tyler Dorsey leaving, is a good move.
I think he had a noticeable amount to prove that he can do it during the regular season, during the conference season, and not just be Mr. March and get a hot hand. And you saw the NBA length of Carolina gave him problems. Now, to his credit, he was assertive enough to find his way to the bucket, get fouled, and make points. I think he left a year early. May work out for him. So I'm going to sell that.
Now let's go ahead and get to the one guy who hasn't announced yet, Jordan Bell. Now with Brooks and Dorsey gone, along with Dylan Ennis, Chris Boucher, Bell would basically be on tap to be the focal point of Oregon's attack and have a monster year. Basically already had a monster year defensively and rebounding-wise for the Ducks, but he would basically be guaranteed the opportunity to push 20 points per game on offense, as well as his touches would increase significantly. All that said, he was possibly the most talked about Duck in terms of the NBA during March. Guys like Doug Gottlieb referred to him as a freak athletically, often talk about how well that athleticism and shot blocking fit in with what NBA teams look for. But like the other two, definitely has things to work on. Mid-range, outside shooting as a 6'9 swing being the main one. So how about it? The prospectus, you buy or sell that Jordan Bell should stay now that Brooks and Dorsey are gone.
Well, he should stay maybe personally, but now the team probably is not a likely Final Four candidate. He's for his value to the NBA, would it behoove him to show that he could even just spot up and if left alone hit an 8-10 footer? You know, I got to go pending on this one. I'm really torn.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
Wait, what are you pending for, though?
I don't know.
What's he gonna do?
I can't give an answer.
Pending until he decides tomorrow and announces that he's going to the NBA.
Pending until I can evaluate like the other guys in the draft who are in a similar boat as him.
Pending until next week when I ask you if him going to the NBA was a good idea.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah.
We'll push this one off to April 19th.
Fair enough. Maryland President Warren Lowe had some comments about the team Oregon lost to in the Final Four, North Carolina, and their academic cheating scandal. Lowe said that the cheating was so bad, happened for such a long time, that the only appropriate punishment would be the death penalty. Obviously, SMU is still the only program to have that happen. And since then, there have been some pretty horrendous scandals in college sports, probably the biggest of which was Penn State. And even Penn State didn't get the death penalty, when there are some pretty good arguments in favor that they should have. The sense one gets is that the NCAA will try to avoid doing that at all costs because there's so much money involved, and arguably no one makes more of it for college basketball than North Carolina. The prospectus, you buy or sell that North Carolina should get the death penalty for their academic scandals?
Well, I haven't heard the specifics, but academic scandal when you're dealing with student athletes should be really high up on the list for bad stuff. I don't think they're going to, so I'm just going to sell that because I don't think it's within the realm of logic.
NFL draft coming up, and surprise, surprise, Cleveland Browns have the first pick. For a long time, it has been assumed that Cleveland, or whoever ended up with the first pick, was sure to draft Myles Garrett, defensive lineman from Texas A&M. Pretty much everyone on earth says is the best player in the draft. But today there are rumblings from Will Brinson, namely of CBS Sports, that the Browns might be interested in doing some Brown stuff and are looking to instead draft North Carolina quarterback Mitchell, don't call me Mitch, Trubisky, with the number one overall pick. This would make a 49ers fan such as myself very happy because they have the number two pick. But what do you think? Is this just NFL draft trickeration or the prospectus? You buy or sell Cleveland might pass on Myles Garrett at number one.
You know, it reminds me when the NHL had 21 teams and our running joke was when 16 of them got in the playoffs, it's like they play 80 games to eliminate Winnipeg. It's like, in essence, they play the NFL regular season to see who drafts 2 through 32.
Right.
They're not drafting him with the first pick. That's ridiculous. He maybe is worthy of, like, the eighth pick of the second round. So I'm going to sell that.
Teams are falling in love, Steve. Tony Romo, speaking of which, Tony Romo warmed up with the Mavs the other day, yesterday, I guess, got introduced with the team, acted like he was going to play, then got pulled away by Mark Cuban at the last second. It was all very fantastic. Nice staged promotion by Cuban to get Mavs fans out to a meaningless game between two teams out of the playoff hunt, and it really worked. SportsCenter revolved their show around it, and it's a topic on other talk shows and now the Crunch Exchange. Apparently, Adam Silver put the kibosh on Romo actually playing in the game, even though Cuban asked for it. Romo would have had to pass a physical, do like an EKG, all the stuff involved with possibly being on a roster. And in addition to that, Silver soured to the idea of a player being on a roster just for a stunt or a promotion. But players have signed just to retire with teams before. And it was, beyond a meaningless game, no matter what Silver thinks or says. The prospectus, you buy or sell that Romo should have been allowed to play last night?
Actually, I was going to talk about this later. The much ado about nothing is hysterical because Romo hasn't really played since 2014 in his regular sport.
Right.
The Mavs and the Nuggets.
He looked it, by the way.
The Mavs and Nuggets, I mean, like you said, the level of meaningless just hit new levels. I understand the commissioner trying to protect his game and not make a farce out of it. And Mark Cuban, who I actually like for the most part, he is definitely a media attention whore. So, what was the prospectus again?
You buy or sell that he should have been allowed to play last night.
He can't play in that game. I'm not even against it. He just can't, so I'm selling it.
Sergio Garcia finally got over the hump and won a major golf tournament. Not just any major, he won the Masters. Along with winning that tournament, golfer gets the infamous green jacket, arguably the most famous article of clothing in world history. On that note, Sergio about to get married to former Golf Channel reporter Angel Akins. She could be seen very prominently around the playoff hole celebrating her fiance's victory. Happy couple, very cute, whatever.
Adorable.
Here's the rub. Sergio is trying to do the ultimate power move for their wedding. According to reports, he's trying to push to wear the green jacket during the wedding instead of his tux. Now, Akins, being a person who is obviously very into golf herself, as she used to work for the Golf Channel, could fly with her. But the idea is to have one of these things and make it special. So green jacket could add to it or it could backfire for Sergio. The prospectus, wearing the green jacket, a good move for Sergio.
You win the green jacket, why would you ever take it off, including bathing and swimming? By the way, most famous article of clothing ever.
I don't know.
The Shroud of Turin, maybe?
Nah. Is that like a real thing?
Is the Shroud of clothing?
It's cloth. Is it actually cloth?
Is it more famous than Bear Bryant's hat?
Do you buy or sell that it's actually clothing, the Shroud of Turin?
All right, let's go with that. It's an awesome move. It's the best buy ever. That's a wrap.